It is a brand new year, and I'm excited about that. I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those people who gets really, really pumped about a brand new year. Like, that's one of my things. I was talking to Jeff just the other day. I was asking, like, oh, what do you think about, like, the new year and that? And he's like, it doesn't really seem like it's that big of a deal. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's everything, right? There's just something about this brand new year. There's this vibe that's in the air of the idea that it's, like, starting over. Rebirth, a new start, right? Some of us, maybe we do that, right? We finish off a year and it's almost like we just want to close the door, right? And it's like, that year over, new year, right? Someone would be like, hey, remember that time? And you're like, come on, that was last year. Let it go. Even though it was like 5 days ago, but like, it was last year, right? It was just 2016, okay? Don't hold against me the things of 2015. This is 2016. We're moving forward. But it does. It feels like there's new opportunities, new beginnings. That's me. For me, it feels like it's a blank canvas. Like we painted all of 2015, and then it's kind of like you hang it up on the shelf, and it's like, oh, a brand new year to be able to do stuff with. That's how I start to feel. I'm also one of those people that at the beginning of the year, I have a tendency to make resolutions. I have a tendency to think about the end of 1 year, the beginning of a new year, and thinking about who I want to be in the next year compared to who I am in the current year. Every single year towards the end of it, I start thinking about, like, where am I going next year? What am I doing? And I'm one of those people who want to set resolutions. And there's common ones that happen every year, and then there's some specific ones. But every year I have the same basic ones in the back of my mind, whether I say them or not, right? Like, exercise more, eat less garbage food, right? Try not to spend so much money frivolously, right? Try to, you know, do those things. Every single year I have that stuff come up. But the problem is invariably, I fail the resolutions. Over the last, 5, 10, 15 years, I can't tell you how many resolutions I've made that they get shot before, like, the end of a month, right? They're gone. They're over. It's done. I have a terrible tendency to do that. Now, this, thankfully, upon my research, is not a Cameron Graper problem. It's a human being problem. I started looking into this whole idea of resolutions in the last few years about what it means and starting over and the beginning of the year and how everyone thinks about this. But the problem is, it turns out that this is a common issue. In fact, believe it or not, they say that 40 to 50% of people normally make a resolution at the beginning of a new year. 40 to 50%. Let's see. Real quick poll. How many of you made a resolution? Hands? Okay, so we're below average, but that's okay. Or maybe we're above average, huh? Huh? See what I'm saying there? About 40 to 50% of people make resolutions. Now get this. The most common, usually, lose weight, get organized, spend less, and save more. Now, of you guys who have made resolutions this year, hopefully you're still on them. Of you who've made resolutions in previous years, real quick, can I get hands, if anybody can even think of this, can any of you remember resolutions you have made and accomplished by the end of that current year? Does anyone actually have a few hands? Okay, awesome. Congratulations. Man, because that's really, really amazing. Check this out. 40 to 50% of people make resolutions. By the end of week one, 25% will have failed their resolutions. By the end of week one, look, we haven't quite finished out 1 week, right? Since the beginning of the year, 25% of people who make resolutions will fail by the end of this week. By the end of month three, by one quarter of the way through the year, 80% of resolutions have died. 80% by only a quarter of the way through the year. You think January, right? January, February, March, by the time April hits, 80% of those resolutions have already been put in the ground. By the end of the year, which that's the idea of a New Year's resolution, right? In this next year, about 8% of those resolutions that are made actually succeed. 8%. That is a dismal number, okay? There's very few things that we would trust, right, in our life if the success rate is 8%. Right? If there's like, this chair has an 8% chance of holding you through this service, you'd be like, I don't want to sit on that chair, right? Yet every year, a lot of us, we still make these resolutions. Or maybe even if you're not the person who solidified it, where you're like, I raised my hand because I did this. I'm guessing a lot of you still have resolutions that are rolling around in the back of your head. You just haven't said them out loud or formed them in your mind. But you're thinking, hey, this next year, maybe this. How is it that so many people can make resolutions and so few can accomplish them? There's something that we're not seeing. There's this disconnect between wanting something and accomplishing it, right? Because that's what a resolution is. It's this want to be able to accomplish something. But only 8% is accomplishing this goal of trying to figure out what it is next, right? Try to implement it, try to take action to it. Believe it or not, this same tendency of I want it, but I can't achieve it was talked about by this awesome guy in the Bible named Paul. He was talking one time about just his experience of being a human being. And I think it's so perfect. Every time I read this, it does. It reminds me of like the New Year's resolution things. The things that we lay out, we're like, this next year, right? This is who I want to be. Check this out in Romans 7, 14 through 23. I'm going to read this quick little statement he did. He was writing to the church in Rome. He's, you know, the people, they were going to pass it around all these different churches. And he says, I'm trying to pen this out. Romans is one of these great letters that he wrote. It's one of the best letters that he wrote as far as people reading through letters. And this one, I think it's so perfect because he kind of turns the focus on him for a second and says, let me just kind of get something off my chest as far as what this feels like. He's talking about the law, and that's the law of Moses and what it's like to try to live by it. And here's what he says in Romans 7, starting in verse 14. So the trouble is not with that law, for it's spiritual and good. The trouble's with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin that's living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Man, Paul, he opens up here. And Paul's like, man, he was the guy. And he just gives this like total, man, hatch peeled back, skin peeled back, look at like who he really was. And he says, I'm telling you, there's like something that's just wrong with me though, because let's be really honest. He's like, every time I set out like, this is what I want to do, this is who I want to be, he says, I fail at it. Every time I think, this is the good steps I need to take in my life, he says, I don't do them. And when I say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore, I end up doing it again. He says, there's something that's just kind of broken inside me, to be honest with you. Now, maybe I'm the only one, but this passage seems strikingly familiar to my own faith walk when I read it. As I read this verse, I don't know about you guys, but as I read it, it just feels like somebody's reading my life story as far as my faith. That time and time again, I would see something and I'd be like, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's who I'm going to be. And then I'm not, and I don't. Where I'm like, you know what? I'm never doing that again. No longer. I will never walk into that ever again. And then the next day I do it. Man, it's just like, when I read Paul, I was like, that's me. Man, thank God that I'm not the only one who suffers with this, right? So many people are walking this exact same path right now. Maybe some of you. Consciously, unconsciously, beginning of a new year, I have these new things I want to do, this new person I want to be, right? And the problem is I'm telling you, for a lot of us, this is going to be our story. I'm going to start exercising in 2016. Maybe not. I'm going to stop eating all that junk fast food, right? Maybe next year, right? My brother-in-law, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm stop smoking this year, right? Cigarettes are easy to come by. People just give them to you, right? They fail, right? It's scary. It's scary. I'm going to beat you up this year. There's another power working inside, Paul says. He says, it's funny because I can want something, but for some reason, my want to accomplish something isn't enough. He says, I still fail. He says, that resolution I make, which that's what it is, right? A decision. I'm never doing that again. I do it again. I'm going to start doing this. I don't do it. You know, what's interesting is he's talking specifically kind of about our faith. And that's where a lot of us are as well, too. Maybe when we get to the beginning of the year, maybe a lot of us, we don't do the whole, I want to lose weight. I want to stop eating this. I want to stop spending that. But for all of us, any of you guys are here, you're people who are actually starting to walk in regards to what God's doing in your life, right? You're at least open up. You might not know everything, have everything figured out, but you're at least taking enough time to say, hey, you know what? Maybe God actually does have some sort of application in my life. I want to give him enough room to be able to do something in my life. And that's wise. You guys, man, as I said, you're already far and ahead, the head of people who aren't doing this right now at the beginning of their 2016. You're allowing God to actually be able to speak into your life, and it could completely change everything. But there's this problem, because when we do this at the beginning of the year, we start thinking about our faith. And a lot of us, when we come to the beginning of a year, we think, this is the year I get this nailed down in my faith. Or this is the year that I change this about my faith. This is the year that maybe I start reading my Bible for the first time ever. You know, they've been talking about that, and I need to do it, and this is the year I do it. Or maybe this is the year I stop cussing so much, right? It just doesn't seem like the person I want to be, and I just want to stop. And this is the year, right? Maybe you're the person who's struggling with things like sin. Maybe you're struggling with lust, and maybe like something like pornography, and you're like, I'm going to stop, and this year is going to be the year that I kick this habit. I know it's not right for me. I'm going to stop doing it. Maybe you're the person who's walking through all of this in the past years. Just this last year, we talked about stuff like Mo Money, Mo Problems, that series we did, and you're thinking about your finances, and you're like, this is the year that I'm going to get my finances under control. I'm going to start being able to give generously. I'm going to start being able to do this. This is the year I start. This is the year I stop. This is the year I start. This is the year I stop. But the problem is, those resolutions don't work. Let's look at our numbers, right? 8%. 8%. That's terrible. The problem is, there's no magic that happens between December 31st and January 1st. There's no magic that happens. There's no weird spiritual transition that happens inside of you. In fact, you go to bed December 31st and you wake up January 1st the exact same person. The same problems, the same sins, the same temptations, the same struggles, the same flaws, the same failures. The problem with going into a new year is you take you with you. You see, if you could just start over, that would be easy, right? But the problem is you came along for the ride of 2016, and you brought all your baggage with you. That's the problem. Here's my big idea tonight. My big idea for this next year, 2016. You don't need a resolution. You need a real solution. You don't need a resolution. You need a real solution. Now, a resolution, it's all about a decision. That's what resolution is, right? I'm resolving. I'm making a decision. I'm taking a stand. But see, a solution actually solves the problem, like mathematically thinking, right? There's a real solution to this problem. There is an X. We can find it. If we can find the variable, we can solve the equation. Paul said this, right? He says, any resolution I set, I break it. He says, is there any real solution? And I think it's great, because I stopped that verse right when I did, because Paul launches right out of this resolution talk into the solution. Paul's talking about how every time I try, I fail, and every time I say I don't, I do. And it's interesting, because he says, is there a real solution? And this is how Paul continues this in verse 24. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? Verse 25, thank God, the answer, the solution, is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You see, he says, I struggle and I fall, and I struggle and I can't, and I struggle and I don't. He says, there has to be a solution. Is there anybody who can help me out of this cycle? And he says, thankfully, there is. He says, this God who we've been talking about, who we've been, man, leaning into and wondering about, he says that he didn't just leave us and say, figure it out, try harder. He says he came to this earth and he lived the perfect life that we're struggling to get for us. Think about this. This is what people don't think about, the whole Jesus hanging on the cross thing, and people hear all that stuff, right? Oh, Jesus died for you. Okay, what does that mean, right? It's like we have this idea, this test that we want to take of our life, of trying to get this perfect score, right? That we, at the end of it, we want to somehow be able to get the best score we can, but it's impossible. We are doomed to fail. We did not study adequately, and we are stayed up way too late playing video games or something else, right? And we are just totally distracted, and it's going to come back as an F. And he says, this is the glory of, he says, God knew that that was the case, so he came to earth as Jesus, and he took the test. Aced it. I mean, 100%. And then instead of walking up and putting his test on the table of the teacher, he took and he walked by and he swapped it with yours. He grabbed your sheet and he gave you his. And he turned in yours and he took the F for you. He took the punishment. That's why he died on the cross, because that's what we deserve for our failure of taking this test. He paid for it. And then he said, now you go ahead and you go turn in my test. And that when we trust in Jesus, we get his righteousness. It says that he took that test for us. And when we come to the end of our lives, when we turn in our life's work to God, he says, perfect. Perfect. You see, that real solution came, friends. It's in Jesus Christ. That he says he came and he perfected that life. That he says, you think that if I can just try and I can just do this, if I can just do this, he says, I already lived the perfect life for you. And I'm telling you that now, as a believer, as a follower, we do nothing out of a sense of trying to earn anything in God's eyes. We do it solely just out of love for who he is. He says, there's a real solution to these problems. But not only that. Not only that, but then he gives us his Spirit to be able to help us as we progress forward in our life. That we're not only given this perfect test to fill in, to take in one day and turn in, but also then we're given his Spirit in the day-to-day to be able to help live through this. And this, my friends, is the real solution. So let me show you what it looks like, okay? Because for each one of you, it's going to be different in how it really applies to tomorrow. But I want to show it to you this next year. No more resolutions. Real solutions. Here's what they look like. I just have two practical things that you'll see out of them, okay? Two things. First and foremost, resolutions are about making a decision. Real solutions are about making a plan. You see, there isn't just a decision with Jesus. It was action, man. It was doing something. It was accomplishing something. And this is the problem with resolutions, is that people just make a decision. I'm going to do this. I can't tell you how tired I am of hearing people tell me what they're going to do. Anybody else? Is anybody else tired of hearing people tell you what they're going to do and you just want to go, no, you're not. You've told me 100 different things you're going to do and you haven't done any of them. Oh man, tomorrow I'm going to start dieting. And you're like, you've been saying that for 10 years, okay? I'm not trying to be mean, but no, you're not, okay? Stop telling me what you're going to do. Oh yeah, I'm going to do this. I told someone just recently, I said, I just want to start telling people, stop telling me what you're going to do and tell me what you did. Instead of telling me what you're going to do, do it for 6 months and then tell me then and be like, hey, I've been doing this for 6 months. And I'll go, awesome. Because when people say, I'm going to do this, I want to say, you deserve no praise from me yet. You've done nothing. I'm going to start exercising. You don't deserve any cheer. You didn't do anything yet. Right? You have to do something before you get cheered on, right? It just kills me. Words are so cheap. So, so cheap. Man, actions are what make a difference, right? Paul talks about this when he's writing the Philippians. He talks about this idea of not just saying what we want to do in our faith, but doing it. Philippians 3:12, he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He says, I haven't made it yet, but I'm trying. He says, and that's what makes all the difference, is that there's action behind this. I'm not just saying it, but I'm walking it. I'm trying. What I do what I can with what I have. I love in Proverbs, wise old sayings from the Old Testament. Proverbs 16:3, it says this. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Now look at this. Look at this deeper. Don't take it off the screen yet. If it is, leave it back up there for a second. Look it. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Most of us as humans would believe this should say, commit your plans to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Wrong. He says, plans do nothing. You want your plans to succeed? Saying, hey, God, would you bless these plans? He says, it does nothing. You want your plans to succeed? Commit your actions to the Lord. He says, you start doing something. Lay the actual plan. Begin to actually walk it. And say, God, would you help me as I do this? And God begins to bless it. The plans take place. They move forward because you're actually doing something. That actions make the difference. If you want a new outcome this year, if 2016 is going to be the best year of your life, right? Maybe in regards to areas of your life, maybe in regards to your faith. You're here, you're starting, right? You're walking this out. What does 2016 have for me in regards to my faith, my life? No more resolutions, no more decisions, no more I'm going to, right? Real plans and actions. That's what God says makes a difference. He says, that's what I bless, what makes your plans come true. Instead of saying, I'm going to read my Bible every day. We need actual action steps. I'm going to buy a Bible that I can actually read because I don't have one. Tomorrow, I'm going to read my Bible at this time of the day. I'm going to read this book. Starting in this book, I'm going to begin reading there. And I'm going to read this many chapters per day. This many verses per day. In fact, I'm going to read it in this location at this time every single day. You see the difference between those two? I'm going to start reading my Bible. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up at 7:30 a.m. and from 7:30 to 7:45, I'm going to sit in my recliner in the corner of my room with a cup of coffee, and I'm going to start reading in Luke 1. You see the difference between those two things? Significantly different. There's real action steps that are waiting for us, not so theoretical. It's not saying, I'm going to go to church every week this next year. It's making plans. I'm no longer going to go out drinking on Saturday night, right? Or I'm at least going to wait till after 7 o'clock, after service is over, right? Not even a laugh for that. That's funny. I'm not going to let my kids sleep over on Saturday night with their friends, even though they want to, because Sunday morning I need them there at church, right? You might say something like, I'm going to start doing something with my finances. Doesn't work. There has to be real action steps. I'm going to go to Financial Peace University this year. I'm going to actually cut back in this area on my budget. I'm going to encourage somebody to get in my face. I'm going to share with my significant other the problems that we have with our finances and be real about it. I'm going to decide a percentage that I'm going to give in generosity. Those are different than just saying this general blanket statement. You say, I'm going to get connected at church this year. No, you say stuff like, I'm going to fill out a serve now tonight. I'm going to come to Group Link on the 24th. I already marked it down on my calendar. I'm going to be there and I'm going to join a subgroup and I'm going to start talking with people about my life and I'm going to actually get connected. You see, there's a difference between just making a decision and making a plan. Plans are about action. You can follow them. You can take those steps. And when you commit those actions to the Lord, your plans will succeed. It makes all the difference. Tangible, measurable steps. Not a decision, a plan. Not a resolution, a real solution. Second, resolutions are all about fixing yourself. See, that's the problem. Resolutions are all about fixing yourself. Real solutions are about inviting God into the middle of those problems. Resolutions are, I'm going to try harder and I'm going to fix this. You ever notice all of resolutions usually start with, I will, I am. Real solutions are different. They start with the words like, God's going to help me. God's going to start. I'm inviting God into. Resolutions are all about me and I can fix myself. But the problem with this is, you're actually the problem, not the solution. You think that you're the solution to the problem, you're actually the problem. That's the issue. You keep thinking you're the solution, I'm telling you you're not the solution, you're actually the problem. When we realize this, when we understand this, that we need help, it changes everything. Philippians 4:13, same letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. He says this, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul confidently says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Not by my own means, trust me, no. You see, we're not meant to grow and develop our faith on our own. This is what religion tells us. This is what the church world will tell you. You need to try harder. You need to focus. You need to get serious. Man, you need to get intense about this. This isn't a joke. Focus up. Fight through it. Problem is, it doesn't work. Religion's been saying that for thousands of years, and it has not worked. All other religions go by that same basic principle. Fix yourself now. You're messed up. Fix yourself. Make yourself better. Maybe God will let you into whatever kind of afterlife he has. Christianity stands in complete opposition to all other faiths. Every other faith says there's something wrong with you, fix it, and you might be able to get better. Christianity says there's something wrong with you, you can't do anything to fix it. But Jesus did. It is completely different than every other faith. It says the fact that when we accept Jesus' gift, him taking that test, that it negates all of that, that we get his righteousness instead. Don't you see, not inviting Jesus into the problem is the craziest thing we could do. Just thinking that we could redouble our efforts, that we could try harder. Faith says no. It's all about inviting God into the situation and watching as he gives strength that does not exist inside of you. As he gives the ability that doesn't really exist deep down inside of here. Giving the opportunity, fighting through the circumstances, giving you the strength to walk through difficult situations. But all of us would ask, will God really help me? I mean, would God really help me, though? Now, religious people would yell at you for asking that question. They'd say, you need to have more faith. What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with that question. Not a bad person for thinking that. Does God really care about this situation in my life? You're telling me I need to invite God into it. Does it really even matter? If I ask him for help, is he really going to show up? Well, I love what Paul said in Romans, just a few verses after the one that we had just read. He says this, speaking about us who've connected our lives with God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. You see, this is completely unlike anything else. He says, when you connect your life to God, it's not like you just applied for a job or he hired you or not like very many other faiths where it's more like, you know, you become a servant, right? Get in here, do your job. He says, no, it's completely different than that. He says, this God, he didn't hire you as a servant. He adopted you as a son or as a daughter. He brought you into his house and he gave you his own last name. And he says, now start walking with me. And there's something completely different about it. God paints the most common picture in the Bible over and over and over again, that our relationship with him is like that of a perfect father. Luke 11, it says that talking about dads giving presents to their sons and daughters, and he says, you guys are evil and you still take care of your own kids. He says, how much better the Lord would. Over and over and over again, he says, I am that great and perfect Father. Now, if we have a relationship with this God that's both good and great, that has strong, strong arms, he's the coolest dad. He's the one that could beat up all the other dads, right? When you have that conversation, you know, my dad could beat up your dad, right? He's the one that wins. The one everyone's like, yeah, your dad could beat up my dad. I admit it, right? But he's also loving and caring. You see, it changes our perspective when we walk into a year where we think, I need God's help with this situation, or I need God's help with this other situation. And we have that thought in the back of our head, does he really care? When I bought my house, ended up buying this house, believe it or not, is right next door to my parents' house, which is funny for any of you guys who know us. We work in a family business together. We run a church together, and I bought the house next door. So, yes, we're close. Physically, everything. After I bought this house, it came to be around fall, and it was a bunch of rain, and lo and behold, my floor drains in my basement stopped draining, and that water came back up the drains. And you know that water, that black water? Have you guys ever experienced that? It's not clear. It is dark and black, and it smells like death, right? I mean, beyond the worst smell you've ever imagined. And honestly, I think I let it sit there for like 2 or 3 days before I realized it. I was like, what stinks, right? And then like finally I walked downstairs and was like, there's 3 inches of black water in my basement. That's what stinks. So what do you think the first thing I did was? Picked up my phone and I called my dad. And I said, Dad, there's 3 inches of black water in my basement. Could you come and help me? And he did. He says, yeah, I'll be right over. Got his thing that roots out, drains, came over and helped me take and get it to drain. Listen, God says in the Bible, if you who are evil know how to help your kids, he says, how much better of a father am I? Man, even if it's that disgusting, stinky black water, man, up to your ankles in it, 3 days old in it, right? Standing in your mess that you've been standing in for maybe years for some of you, right? I've been standing in this water, this stale, stinky water for 10, 15 years. He says, I'm that good father that when you call and you say, Dad, would you help? He says, I'll be there. I'll be there right away. You see, we can be confident that as we have these situations, as we want to move forward in our life, and I'm telling you, it's all about inviting God into those circumstances, asking him for his help, for his strength to be able to accomplish it. He is a great dad who will immediately swoop in to help. This next year in 2016 could be the best year of your life. It could be the best year of your life. It could be the year that changes the rest of your life. But you don't need a resolution. You don't need a resolution, you don't need a decision, you need a real solution. You need a plan that's being blessed by God. You need to invite God into those circumstances and ask him for his help, because I'm telling you, 8%, that's the best odds you got on your own. 8%. I'm telling you, if you invite God into the situation, it will be radically, radically changed. Stop thinking about doing it yourself. Start thinking about inviting him. Now, in this audience represents a multitude of different things that this next year might mean. Maybe it is reading my Bible, stopping doing this, looking at this, saying this, being this. There might be a multitude of things, like I said, that are rolling around in your head. Maybe you didn't vocalize it and clarify it, but you're thinking it, right? What does 2016 need to be for me and my faith and my life, right? Telling you, you need to step into it. We're only, what, 3 days into it right now? Is that what it is, second, third? 2 days into it, right? Tonight's the night, friends. Don't let it be 3 or 4 months into it before you begin to start working into this. Don't let the year get away from you before you embrace a real solution. Tonight's the night. This is the night you begin down that path. So here's what I want to do. Just give me just a few seconds more of your life, okay? Real quick. Just close your eyes. Quick moment by yourself, okay? Nobody looking around. Just give the person next to you their space. They have their own space. You have your space, right? And I just want to do this, okay? Two quick questions. One, for someone, this could mean actually beginning down this road. Maybe you never realized the fact that Jesus took that test for you and what that all meant in regards to him dying. And tonight could be the night where really you're starting that process for the first time. You don't know all the rest of it yet, but what you want to do is just invite Jesus into your life, just to begin to come and just to touch your life and do something in it. You don't have everything figured out, like I said, but you're just at that place where you said, that's what I need, is I just need that to put my trust in him. I want God to come in and do that stuff, but you're talking about being a son or daughter of God. I want to be that. If that's you and you want to take that step tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity. And if it's you, you can feel it's you deep down inside your heart right now. You can feel God kind of nudging you forward. If it's you, I just want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand in 1 second. I'm just going to count. You raise your hand if it's you. I want to pray for you. 3, 2, 1. Raise your hand if it's you. Yeah, I see you. Anyone else? I see you. Is there anyone else who says this? That's me tonight. Okay, and let's pray together with these two. All of you who prayed this prayer before, especially. Let's just pray together with them so that it's not just them alone. Not some sort of magical prayer. It's just a prayer of our heart. Just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying in my place. Please become the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now keep your eyes closed for just one more second. For many more of you, I know that you're beginning this relationship, or you have begun this relationship with God. You're starting to walk in it. And there's things that God is leading you to that you're feeling that nudge. Maybe there's something in 2016 that you really, really want to stop, want to start, want to progress in, and you feel it. But I'm telling you, the resolution won't work. If you need a real solution, and it's you tonight, and you say, man, that's me. I need God. I need a real solution. I need to move forward in this. If it's you, I just want to pray God's blessings over you in that. If it's you, I'm going to do another count. You throw up your hand, okay? 3, 2, 1. Raise your hand if it's you. Yeah, go ahead. Keep them up. Keep them up if it's you. I just want to pray. God, would you look down and see all of these hands of people who say, I need a real solution. I don't want to just say I'm going to try harder. I need your help. I need your power. Show me those right steps. Show me the plan and then bless those actions so that this plan can come together, God. I want to make 2016 a year that's about you, Jesus. God, would you reach down and would you change these situations radically, God? We believe that 2016, by turning our eyes to you, to a real solution, we're going to see something we never have before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. God bless you so much. For you guys who just started a relationship with Jesus, man, congratulations from the bottom of our hearts. Congratulations. That means everything. So excited for you. For any of you who are taking a step into that real solution, I pray that 2016 is the best year of your life. God bless you guys. Have a good night.